For a great Chicago show, we can tell you where to go. You should dial your radio to the Skinny and Hooley Show. It's the Skinny and Hooley Show.
Listoon Varna. Oh, Listoon Varna. Listoon Varna.
How's it going there, everybody from Cork, New York?
Hey, how's it going, everybody? Welcome once again to the Skinny and Hooley Show. I'm your old friend, Mike Houlihan, and with me, as always, my buddy, my pal, my friend, Mr. James Skinny Sheehan. Skin, what do you say?
Hey, Hooley, great to be back here with the Hooley man.
And another beautiful night on the
beautiful
river.
All the river rides are going by, all the boats with all the spectators.
It's summer.
Visitors. It's gorgeous out.
Yeah. Hey, you're listening to Skinny and Hooley Show. We're brought to you by Flood Brothers Disposal, our old pal Bob Flood. We're coming at you out of Cicero, Illinois on WCEB. We're Chicago's ethnic voice, 1450 on your AM dial. We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter. We're streaming online at WCEV1450.com. And if you ever miss a show, folks, you usually catch the podcast up by Monday at SkinnyHooley.com.
The worldwide podcast.
Absolutely. It's global.
Yes,
global.
People actually listen to it in Ireland, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Once in a while we hear from them, and it's great.
We do indeed. They love it.
It's a beautiful, beautiful day here in Chicago. I hope it stays like this. We finally got summer.
Speaking of which, Skinny, you seem to remember us being in Athenry or someplace like that, and we walked into this gift shop, and this lady goes, "Are you Skinny from the Skinny and Hooley Show?"
Yes. Peggy. Peggy.
Was that her name?
Yeah, she lived in Oak Lawn. And she got this other lady out of the back room. She goes, "This is Skinny from the Skinny and Hooley Show. We listen to you every week on the computer."
So hello to all our Irish listeners.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think it was Athenry.
Speaking of Irish listeners, you know, we're all interested in
a genealogy.
Genealogy and our roots and all that stuff. And we just happen to have a couple of young ladies here who are going to tell us all about it. We got Terry O'Connell and Nancy Moore from the Irish American Heritage Center. And they're putting together a new a genealogical class?
It's a workshop for people looking to start researching their family trees.
Okay.
That is great.
And do you help them?
Well, the workshop is going to give them some background information just to get them started. And depending on time frame and how many people are in the workshop, we might be able to sit back and kind of work one off and try to show them some records that might kind of help hook them into that family tree.
Do you have access to all this stuff?
It's all on the computer.
I do, yes.
Oh, do you really?
Yes.
There's so much more stuff you can find now.
Yeah, because when I first started looking into mine, I got into a discussion with Brian Donovan on the phone one day, and holy cow, my ears melted. He had me on the phone for like 3 hours.
I believe that.
He said, "Do you have an old Bible anywhere with, you know?" And I went, "No." But I did find all that, and I became a citizen because of my genealogical research, so it helped.
Yeah. No, my family has 2 Bibles from both sides of the family.
Oh, do
with
they?
All the information, yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
See?
Yeah.
I think, I don't know, the Bibles were left in the hotel rooms at my house.
It's very, very interesting, though, when you get into it and you find out stuff about your family that you never knew and you find out.
Yeah.
I mean,
relatives you never knew you had.
Right, right. And it's amazing. I was just telling Hooley before the show, Jim Sexton, who's the mayor of Evergreen
the
Park.
The mayor.
He's going to be a guest on our show in a couple weeks. But he's a cousin, and his grandfather and my grandmother were brother and sister.
Uh-huh.
And they also had 20 other brothers and sisters.
Wow. Holy cow.
So, and they were from Ennis, right outside Ennis, Ballynacally. And I've looked at a lot of that stuff.
Sure.
And it's just great, though, to connect with people that you wouldn't ordinarily connect with, but you find out all this stuff about all your cousins and relatives, but you also find out about yourself. It's pretty neat.
Yeah, the idea of the beginning workshop is to really take people who kind of don't know what to do.
And when is the beginning workshop?
It is
June 21st.
What day is that?
Thursday?
7 p.m.
7 o'clock.
He's our press agent, by the way.
Jeez, that's right in the middle of the crack radio show.
It should be starting a little bit after.
Now, what should someone bring old birth certificates or whatever they've got or what?
They should at least bring a basic understanding of their family. So they don't necessarily need to bring
good luck with that. My family's nuts.
They don't necessarily need to bring their birth certificates, but, you know, have some names and rough estimate of when your grandparents were born. Because if we're looking at someone who's, let's say, average in their 40s, we're not going to find any records today that are going to cover them. But their parents or their grandparents we might be able to start seeing in census records and directories and whatnot.
How far, when a family tree starts, does it usually start with the grandparents?
You usually start with yourself.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Because how, well...
Because I always thought that the people were at the top of the ancestors.
But you work backwards. So you work from the known to the unknown.
Okay.
So you know you.
Yeah.
You kind of know your parents. Sure. You have the basic understanding
of... Who your
of,
brothers and sisters
right,
are
exactly.
And all that stuff.
So that's a good starting
place. Your uncles
place.
And aunts, yeah.
Absolutely.
So then the fun thing that we're adding into this, which we've joked about, is the dash. Collecting family stories that you've heard throughout the years to fill in what is the dash between the years.
Between the years of their lives.
Of their lives, yeah. So it's not just about genealogy, about but there's all the stories that you hear when you're sitting around tables at holidays and things like that. Yeah. So we're trying to incorporate that into genealogy as well.
Oh,
because people get
the stories.
Lost, because people get lost in the dates and then try to add in the other things that have happened into people's lives and they don't know what to do with that.
And what do they do? You guys encourage them to write them down or what?
Well, I would definitely encourage them to write them
write
down.
Write them down.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Write it down, as Hal Roach said.
So do a little homework before you come in there.
Have it makes it easier. Absolutely.
Yeah.
They don't have to do too much homework. This one's really about the basics, and then we have a series starting that'll walk them through everything.
When does that start? The next week?
No, that starts in September.
Oh, so is it just one workshop on the 21st?
Correct.
And so it's like, all right, here's all the information you're going to need. Start boning up, and we'll see you in September.
And that'll give them time during the summer to collect the stories you get at family reunions and things like that and talk to people about other relatives, dates and times, siblings, great-grandparents, and collect all those stories. And then we'll help them with it in the fall.
You know, a lot of the things you uncover, like the grudges, stuff like that.
So true. But on the other side, you can uncover why the grudges are there.
Oh, sure. Well, if someone's going to talk,
Well, it's not necessarily just the talking. For instance, on my mother's side, we have a great-grandmother who bonded with one grandchild, but not the rest of the grandchildren.
Oh.
And you go back and you find out that, well, her parents actually had problems with her husband's parents. Oh, and then you come and find out, you get back a little further, and you're like, oh, well, they were on different sides in the Civil War.
Oh.
So it kind of makes sense as to why the families aren't connecting.
Yeah.
So.
Very interesting. Now, what's your background, Terry?
So my background is genealogy. I've been doing it for 20 years now.
Mm-hmm. How'd you get into it?
Okay. So my grandfather, my maternal grandfather, was in the hospital dying.
Yeah.
And
what was his name?
His name was William Richmond.
Uh-huh.
He has some Irish in him, but not a lot. But his family, we knew very little about. I'd met his sister. I'd met his parents, but we didn't know
them. You met his parents?
Yeah. I had great-grandparents around until I was an adult.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah. So we didn't really know them, though. Like, we've met them. We knew about them, but we didn't know them. And I wanted to know more. My mom's family moved to Chicago in the 50s from the coal mines of West Virginia.
Oh, no kidding. Yeah.
And I just wanted to know more. They always talked lovingly about West Virginia.
Yeah.
So I sat in the hospital with my grandmother, writing on napkins, like, tell me everything you can.
Yeah.
And it was hysterical to go home with all these little napkins
sure.
and all these little notes and
transcribe
try to make
it all.
Sense of them. And the internet had roughly just started.
Oh, yeah.
And I got on and I started putting in names that she gave me. And I found this obituary in Florida. And I don't care what anybody said, I knew that man was related to my grandfather. My grandfather had these big ears that kind of stuck out. And
he was a good listener.
This guy had the same ears.
Sorry.
No, it's true, though. And I took it to my grandmother on the day of my grandfather's funeral. I said, do you know this man? And she's like, oh, my God, that's your grandpa's cousin. Where did you find that?
Wow. Yeah.
So after that, I was kind of hooked.
Yeah. Now, did you have to study this somewhere, or is there at school, or what?
There are classes out there. Many years ago, I took a couple classes through the National Genealogical Society.
Oh, there is such a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There are classes through the University of Boston. There are the National Institute of Genealogical Studies up in Canada. So there are many places to go and learn.
Yeah.
But most of it's going to be online learning.
It's hardcore research.
It really is. Yeah.
But Ireland has done a great job in the recent years.
Oh, putting everything online in the different counties.
I know they've hired a lot of people, and they went through all those parish records, and they went through.
Yeah, that's where they find a lot of stuff. Yeah.
The baptisms, the.
When they went online, at 7 a.m. Chicago time. They were up early. And I sleep late. I go to bed late. And I was up at like 6:30 that morning on the computer, had already pulled down all the records of my third great-grandfather and his father.
And you can just download them from
Ireland?
I just
downloaded them because I had only had indexes at that point.
Yeah.
So then I got all the full records. And I was able to take those records to Ireland, see the official church books.
Yeah.
Hold the church book, get some pictures, walk the church. It's amazing stuff you could do with it.
You know, I did a film years ago, maybe 5-6 years ago, called Our Irish Cousins. And it was my first trip to Ireland, and I went with my wife and kids. My grandparents were dead long before I was even born. So I had a cousin who had done some research, but I had to go to the clerk's office, you know, and get all of the birth certificates and death certificates and all this stuff. I had to get it all together. But I found the church where my grandfather, Dennis Cusack, was baptized, and I was able to put my hands in the same baptismal font. And when I did, it was like
amazing.
Electricity ran right through me. I started bawling.
That's because you got hit by lightning.
Yeah, I was struck by lightning. It was like, whoa.
It really is. When we were in Cove, when we went in 2015.
Oh, we're going there on the Skinny and Uli tour in
October. I'm going like the week after you.
No kidding.
Yeah. But when we went there in 2015, we ate at the Titanic pub.
Oh, yeah.
And it was winterish. And we were sitting and looking at it and the pier. And I said to the guy, can I go out these doors and just see? And he's like, oh, yeah, go on. And I went out and just sat there and just the thought that, you know, my people kind of walked through here in the mid-1800s to leave and never come back.
Yeah.
It's definitely.
Well, my father came in 1929, May 19th. He left Ireland May 5th. Got here, we got to New York May 22nd, I think it was. But Ricky Barrett.
Oh, he's a great researcher.
The history detective. We've had him on the show.
He's coming back in August.
Yes, and I've talked to he can find anything. There's absolutely nobody like him.
He's really good.
He's really, really good. He's
an FBI agent, a DEA agent. But he found out that the first police officer killed in the line of duty was an Irishman.
In Chicago.
And there were people in the city of Chicago didn't want that revealed. Mm-hmm. But there's no stopping Ricky Barrett. No. Constable Quinn.
Constable James Quinn. It was like a 12-year ordeal.
Oh, he got it, though.
And when it was over, the guy, Johnson, the head of the History Museum here, said to me, we were at a luncheon, and he said, I've seen everybody come in and do research. There's nobody that I have ever seen like your buddy. I've never seen someone so smart and so determined. He could find anybody. Constable Quinn, we found it by accident. Ricky went back, and I said, we got to get some relatives.
Uh-huh.
If we go in and do this, because the police had their narrative. You never, you know, nobody ever wants to change the narrative.
They don't want to change it,
And the police department fought us tooth and nail. Every step they lied. They did all kinds of stuff. But anyways, he found 175 of Constable Quinn's
relatives,
descendants,
wow.
All around the country.
That's amazing.
And he would call them up. I mean, he was just put this one on for years and years and years and years. And we finally won. We got the city council, and it was really an interesting voyage. But it goes back to your family. You find out so much stuff. And that's how it began. He started researching his family's history.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And his grandfather. And it was really, really, really something to get into that. And there always seems to be somebody, not just one person or two people, but a lot of people, once they get into this stuff,
it
just
like
pulls
Terry
them
O'Connell.
In.
Oh, yeah.
You're gone.
Yeah.
Yes. It becomes a passion. It starts
it's a thread
as a passion.
That you pick up, yeah.
And it becomes an obsession.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, I'm glad. It's great because when you do get it all figured out, you feel somehow settled. Mm-hmm. You know,
absolutely.
Like, now I know.
Well, it's
true.
Yeah.
And you can be very proud, you know, when you. I know a lot of Irish people are really. Getting the citizenship was a great moment in my life, and I thanked my. And I couldn't get it on my father's side because I had to go back to the great grandfather, mm-hmm. But on my mother's side, her father was born in Ireland, and that clinched it for me.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
I only wish.
Oh, yeah. Well, because that Irish passport is like gold, man. Especially now with the EU and all that stuff, although that may be ending soon. I don't know. So if people want to do it, they have to sign up beforehand?
Yes.
Where do they go?
They go to the Irish American Heritage Center website, which is...
Irish dash. Sure.
Tell us, Nance.
Oh, what is it?
Nancy Moore.
Irish-American.org. And then you can find in the event calendar,
yes.
You go to June 21st, you'll find the classes listed.
That ought to be a big deal. I bet a lot of people come out for that.
Yeah, I think so. We are. I think we have quite a few people because it is a more of a basic and not just jumping in with genealogists that kind of overwhelm you. This gives you the strong chance to start from the very beginning of...
And you're going to have a pro, Terry O'Connell,
absolutely.
Involved.
Yeah.
Now, what is this your full-time job? Do you do this for a living?
I do travel, basically full-time, and this is just kind of part-time. It's fun.
Are you a travel agent?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, cool. What's the name of your... Wait, where at?
I work from home, you know, here in Chicago. But it's a franchise through Cruise Planners.
Oh, cool. Yeah. So do you travel a lot on your own?
Not as much as I'd like.
Oh, sure. Oh, that's great. How many times have you been to Ireland?
Only once, but I'm going October.
Oh, yeah.
And then I'm going next May, so.
Cool.
Very good. Very good.
So they...
But you know, it's interesting, too, when we go on our trips to Ireland, Holly, when we stopped at Mrs. Houlihan's house when we were...
Yes, right outside Dingle.
And I said, Mrs. Houlihan, how old is this house?
Yeah.
Well, it's at least 500 years old.
Prehistoric, practically.
And I'm like... I said, this is before Columbus.
She invited us into her house, too. She had a picture of Kennedy on the wall.
Oh,
all
I
that.
Love it.
And who was the movie actor she had on the wall? She had Kennedy. She had the Pope.
Victor McLaughlin.
Tom Cruise or something.
Oh, Tom Cruise from that terrible movie, Far and Away.
Yeah.
She's gone now.
She is.
What a wonderful lady.
Ireland has such an incredible, incredible history. I mean, we think, you know, here we are in Chicago. The house just up 2 miles away, 1845, is the oldest home in Chicago.
Yeah. You go to Ireland, it's like
a brand new house.
Yes. Yeah.
When we walked through Ireland, that was the biggest thing, is like the people really have a respect for the history,
yes.
Where we just bulldoze it down and build something new.
Yes, I know, it's terrible.
Yeah, I love Ireland. I love the cemeteries in Ireland. Mm-hmm. And every one of those gravestones is a story. Mm-hmm. Every one of
sure.
them, it's absolutely fascinating to me, mm-hmm. absolutely fascinating. But they have such a great, great history. And they had all the horrible, horrible stuff they went through.
Absolutely.
When they were in the loving arms of the English for 800 years.
Yeah.
The
English were so good to
them. Is there a fee for this course?
It is $20.
Oh, that's nothing.
It is nothing.
It's nothing. Yeah. We really want to help encourage people and get them started on their journey.
Well, you're going to have a packed house, I would think. You know?
I hope so.
Yeah.
You should have talked to Holy before that $20 fee.
Oh, it took me... Well, it took 6 months just to get the citizenship once I had all the paperwork, you know.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, my God. But it is. It's a great journey to go on. And maybe it's because if you reach a certain age, you go, what am I doing here? And who was here before me? And you thank your relatives for getting out.
Absolutely.
So they didn't get swallowed up in the famine or anything.
Right.
You know?
Well, I mean, think about that. When people are researching and they find their family survived the famine.
Yeah, amazing. Yeah.
They didn't leave. They stayed until it ended and then
right.
came.
Right.
You know you come from strong stock then.
What are the famine years again?
1845 to 1849.
Okay, my grandfather was born in 1860-something, so he just missed it. But he came to, he was a captain in the Irish Citizen Army, Dennis Cusack. And anyway, don't... See the movie, folks, Our Irish Cousins.
Actually, the movie is really good.
You know what you should do one night in your class? You could show the movie if you wanted.
Really?
It's actually
like
pretty
to
touching
it.
At
it
the
is.
End.
It's very
it's
touching.
Pretty
yeah.
cool.
And you know who the narrator
well
is?
Done.
Mr. P.J. O'Dea.
P.J.
Ireland's greatest footballer and hurler of all time. All right, so one more time with where people go. They want to meet Nancy Moore and Terry O'Connell for the genealogy class.
It's on Thursday, June 21st.
That's coming up.
From 7 to 9. Yeah. And you can go to
2 weeks from tomorrow, right?
Irish-American.org.
Okay.
To sign up for the class. They're $20. And we're looking forward to everybody coming.
Yeah, that's a great deal. $20. And then the big classes. And so now, what if someone misses the thing in June, but they want to come in September? Can they just.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Then come join us.
Cool.
Is it like when me and Huli were in high school? Can we copy off the person next to us?
No, because they're different
family.
Yeah, you're going to have the same family history as they do now.
My Uncle Jack used to tell that story. He went to Campion High School, and they had to take a class in Greek. And he said there was one
good
guy
luck.
That slept all the time and everything, but he copied. The guy copied off whoever was sitting next to him, and he copied off. Jack. The only problem was you had to put your name in Greek, so he put
his name in Greek.
He put his name in Greek, too.
Oh, my.
That's great.
That's a great story.
He used to tell that all the time. Jack Wright's dad told this story
Jack
all the time.
Yeah. That's pretty funny. All right. If you want to know about your roots and you maybe get your citizenship or whatever and learn more about your family and yourselves, get in touch with these ladies, Nancy Moore, Terry O'Connell, at the Irish American Heritage Center website. Yeah. And go see him Thursday,
June 21st. 7 o'clock or 8 o'clock?
7
o'clock. It'll probably start at 7:30.
Now,
after
after people can go into the bar and have a drink, too.
Yes, absolutely.
And come and hang out with us.
They come and see the Hooli's Hooli for a while.
No, they'll be seeing the crack.
The crack. Excuse me. I can't keep track.
Okay.
Of the
crack. All right. Thank you, ladies.
Thanks so much,
ladies.
Thanks
so much.
On the show. This was wonderful.
You're doing good work.
Good.
We'll be right back on the Skinny and Hooli Show with these messages from our friends.
Commercial business owners, industrial business owners, restaurateurs, apartment, condominium, and building maintenance managers. Flood Brothers Disposal and Recycling Service wants to earn your business. When was the last time you checked your garbage disposal rates? How about making a call or emailing for a free quote today at 773-626-5800 or online to floodbrothersdisposal.com. Flood Brothers is one of the last family-owned and operated solid waste recycling and yard waste firms serving metropolitan Chicagoland. Flood Brothers specializes in expert personalized service, extremely competitive pricing, and is backed by the Flood Brothers family name. Call Flood Brothers today. There's no charge other than a phone call to get a free quote. Call 773-626-5800 or go online to floodbrothersdisposal.com. When your name is on the trucks, you work harder to satisfy every customer. Call 773-626-5800. Flood Brothers Disposal and Recycling Service. Your garbage and recycling waste is their bread and butter.
There's only one Irish pub on the Chicago River, and that's Lizzie McNeil's at 400 North McClure Court. We spend a lot of time there taping the Skinny and Hooli Show at Lizzie's almost every Wednesday night. You can escape the hustle and bustle of Navy Pier and relax at Lizzie McNeil's. Our old pal John Wren is your host. Please say hello when you stop by for one of their ice-cold brews in an authentic Irish pub. One visit and you'll be calling it your hometown hangout. We've been hanging at Lizzie's for going on 7 years now, so join us. When the weather gets nice, they have two outdoor patio areas where you can take advantage of the sunshine and a cafe menu of salad, sandwiches, and appetizers. Lizzie's also has a great private party room that's perfect for birthdays, graduations, and most nights at Lizzie's, you can meet the elite of Chicago's Irish-American community. So stop by Lizzie McNeil soon, right by the river. Tell them you were sent by Skinny and Hooli.
With a history going all the way back to 1896, the International Union of Operating Engineers has continued to protect workers and their families with loyalty and brotherhood. Local 150 has continued to thrive through economic booms and busts with careful training and aggressive organizing. Under the leadership of President and Business Manager Jim Sweeney, Local 150 has implemented programs and action plans to create work, protect benefits, and keep members working. And they've been helping the Irish American community of Chicagoland for just as long. Skinny and Hooli Show is proud to be associated with Jim Sweeney and Local 150, and we salute the continuing efforts of the International Union of Operating Engineers and their support of Irish and Irish American families now and in the future. Thanks to Local 150.
Back, Hooli.
We're back on the Skinny and Hooli Show. Welcome back, everybody.
That was very interesting, wasn't it?
It was. I feel like doing it again, you know, just to relearn all that stuff. And maybe I'm sure I missed some stuff in my family tree. I'm sure there were some wet
there's
jobs
so
in there
much,
that we didn't cover.
But there's so much stuff you can find out today that you couldn't find out even 10 years ago. They put so many records in Ireland
on the computer.
Computer, yeah.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. I mean, today you could find out in 10 minutes what would take you 2 years. You'd have to go
over
Ireland.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
But it's also a good excuse to go over to Ireland.
I know, but you still, when you get the information, you can go over and see all the places that they talk about.
Absolutely.
There's always an excuse
and
to go
And you find out, the other thing is, one of the nice things is you find out what county you're from.
Right.
Everybody has a home county. Mine was Clare. I never knew that. You're from Limerick, right?
Right.
Yeah, so.
And my mother's people are from Clare.
There you go. That's the good part of your family.
Oh, and my mother's father was from Tipperary, so.
Okay.
We got everything pretty well covered, Huli.
Now, speaking of Irishness, there's an organization I joined, maybe 2-3 months ago, but I had been an admirer of it for years and years and years, the Ancient Order of Hibernians. It's one of the oldest fraternal Irish organizations in existence, and we just happened to be having a guy from Division 59, Joe McGovern, who was here a couple of weeks ago. Joe, you got to get up on the mic there. Welcome to the Skinny and Uli Show.
Thanks, Mike. It's great to be here, and we were here about, Terry Cornell and I were here about 6 weeks ago.
Yeah, I had vertigo that night. It was weird.
John Sheehan did a great job filling in for you.
Johnny Vegas?
Yes,
sure.
Yeah, Johnny was terrific.
He's a natural, I think. Anyway.
He's naturally something.
Terry and I weren't too well prepared the last time, and there was some information that I want to pass on to your listeners. If you're interested in the AOH.
Wait. Before you get into that.
Yes.
What is the AOH?
The Ancient Order of Hibernians is, as you say, it's a fraternal organization formed in New York in 1836. And
it's formed in New York, huh?
Yeah, and it's the largest and really the only national Irish organization in the United States. We have the basic unit is the division. There are two divisions here in Chicago. There's one in Peoria. There's one in Belleville.
So it's 59 and 32 here.
Right.
32 meets at the Heritage Center. I know that.
And they meet on the, I just found out, on the first
Thursday
of the month.
Right.
I don't know what time the meeting starts, probably 7 or 8.
Our division, Heritage Center. Yeah.
59, meets on the second Wednesday of the month at the American Legion Hall, 9701 South Kedzie in Evergreen Park. And our meeting
97th and Kedzie, yeah.
Started at 8 p.m.
How many members?
Well, we're down in between 20 and 30. We've lost a lot of our stalwarts to the Grim Reaper, unfortunately.
Sure.
Our membership was pretty evenly divided between people who were born in Ireland. We had a lot of guys who came over in the 50s and the early 60s. We still have a few, still some really fine people. And I've always said I've learned a lot about Ireland from talking to them. Almost all west of Ireland, Mayo.
I know John Curtin is a member.
Yes, John
is
a from
friend.
Clare.
He's a Clare man.
Yeah, that's right.
Friend of mine. Yeah.
Tom Healy from Galway. We've got Kevin Cahill from Limerick. He's from Newcastle West and not Limerick Town. It's a whole different experience having grown up at that time in rural Ireland.
Sure.
You know, and come to the United States and
are you one of the younger members?
Probably right now about in the middle of the range.
Okay.
Weren't the Hibernians involved in the Civil War in this country?
Well, certainly many of their members were, but right. I don't think there was no formal group that was part of the U.S. United States Army. Certainly, there's a lot of overlap. The division from the people in New York.
Yeah, that's fighting 69th and all that.
Yeah, I mean they may have been individually members of the AOH, but there was no. As far as I know, no formal. They didn't go down and join as a division or
right,
a group.
Right.
What brought you? Why'd you get involved?
Well, I knew about it, and I was. It's kind of a funny story, and it actually didn't happen to me, but I heard this from somebody else. That the AOH had been big in Chicago, and gradually kind of withered away, and then it kind of made a revival in the 50s and the 60s, and then kind of withered away again. And it was at the point where, and I heard this from somebody at the Heritage Center, that they had some guy that came in who had grown up in New York or Pennsylvania, and he wanted to join the AOH. So he asked, how he could get in touch with them. And the people at the Heritage Center said, well, we know they're around because we see them in the parade, but we can't tell you how to get in touch with them.
Wow.
So it's
there's also a ladies' ancient order of Hibernians.
You know, yes, there is. And that's primarily women from the north side. People in Division 32 are much more involved in that than our group is. There's no women's division out on the south side.
Oh, okay.
So, but anyway, it's this Division 32. It's been a nice thing. It's only about 15 years old, and it's done well, and it's great to see.
You know, years ago in New York, I used to live in New York, and I was doing a show. Two Irish brothers, they will remain nameless, but I was taking it on tour, Philadelphia, Syracuse. I knew it was going to be in Chicago. And I met a guy in New York who ran the Ancient Order of Hibernians in New York, and he had a book. Every city's connection, everything, you know, I said, this is exactly, I mean, it was like the Bible of the Ancient Order of Hibernians. So then when I hit a town, I could contact all the Hibernians and get them to come see the show. And that's how I met, and this was like 1984. I thought, what a great organization. But the thing I always liked about the Hibernians is it's a Catholic organization, particularly now when the Catholic Church is under siege by a secular atheist culture, the insanity of it all, and it's organizations like the Ancient Order of Hibernians who can keep that Catholic spirit alive.
Yes, it definitely, you have to be a practicing Catholic to be a member.
Right.
And
as it should be.
Yes. I hate to say it, but I think they kind of, you know, for years they ran the parade in New York City, and they don't anymore. They kind of very quietly.
Oh, they got into a beef, I know.
They ended up in court, and it cost them a lot of money and a lot of time. Eventually they prevailed, but now I'm not even sure. Some years ago they just kind of quietly said, we're not going to do this anymore.
No, because all these gays were protesting.
But you know what? We had the same thing. Same thing on the Southside Parade, and they contacted them, and I knew some guys that were involved with it, and I said, do not, if they want to come in the parade.
They want to cause trouble.
Tell me. I just fill out your stuff. Do not talk to anybody. Don't talk to any papers. Don't talk to anybody. And then a couple papers called, and they said, and everybody's welcome in the parade. But they just got to be in order. You know, we'll put them in. And then that was it. They never followed through. They wanted a fight. That's what they wanted.
They caused a lot of trouble in New York, that's for sure.
I mean, it was, you know, and they did cause a lot of trouble in New York and whatever.
But, and that's a it's a big deal here, too. All right, what were you going to tell me? Now, before we got into that, you were going to tell me something.
No, basically, Joel? I think we've covered that. Actually, thank you for reminding me. When we were here before, I was a little unclear as to how you can contact us. We, too, participate in the computer age. Division 32 has its own website.
I was at Division 59 has its own website, too.
It does, and we're on Facebook. Anyway, if you're interested in being a member...
Yours is the John F. Kennedy, named after John F. Kennedy.
Actually, the interesting thing about that was the division was formed in 1959 when Kennedy was in the Senate.
Oh, yeah?
And they named it after him before he became president.
No kidding.
Yes, and legend has it. I've never actually seen it, but the... While he was, somebody wrote to him and said, you know, we named our division after you, and he wrote back and said, well, thank you, it's quite an honor. And
vote for me.
Yeah.
But anyway, Division 59, their website is www.aohchicago59.com, and Facebook is aohchicago59. So if you're interested... Give us.
I think everybody should be interested in this, because if you want to harness the power of Irish Catholics, AOH is the way to do it. I mean, it's an existing organization. It's nationwide. They just need new blood to get in there, and because our culture is really in trouble, I think. And if anybody's going to save it, it's people like the AOH, you know.
Well, after that referendum in Ireland, I
tell me about it.
Yeah. That,
now, I was sad to see the AOH wasn't more involved in that. You know, it's
well,
like
they
stay out of politics, I know, but come on, that's a Catholic issue if there ever was one.
I'm
what
not
was
sure.
What the final vote? 60-40?
It was terrible, yeah.
It was 66.4%.
Yeah. Over a million
repeal.
People didn't vote.
That doesn't matter. That doesn't matter. No. If the other million voted, it would have been. Usually, the people that don't vote the same way the people that do vote.
Yeah.
I looked at the numbers, and I was surprised, even in the rural areas.
The only county that went for no was
Donegal.
They have
the television. It's poison. They get fed BBC and
that's good, Skinny.
CNBC,
CNN, and Sky News,
yeah.
And yeah,
it's all
that commie crap. That's why we need the AOH, you know.
Well, if you're interested, you know, get in touch with us, and we certainly would be, you know.
The other day, I'm driving into work, last week, and CBS National News on the radio.
Yeah.
Is talking about a priest in Australia that was accused of being a pedophile.
And they're just hammering it and hammering it.
This is in Australia. Then 3 days later, there's 200 kids in Chicago public schools that have been molested.
Oh, yeah.
And they don't even talk about it.
No, they don't cover that.
I swear, this national news.
Yeah.
And that is what you're dealing with.
Sure.
They despise the Catholic Church.
The church. Yeah.
And if you read anything about, if you read stuff about the commies, okay, that is their number one enemy.
Yeah.
I did get a book from, it was Witness, and I got it from Jack Higgins' wife.
Ah, Missy.
And it's the Alger Hiss. And he wrote this book, and everything he said in the book that they're supposed to do, that's what's going on right now.
Yeah.
And the masses, I mean, you try to sit down and talk to anybody, and you say, "This." They look at you like, you know, you've got 15 heads, and you're like, no, you guys don't get it. Don't believe this stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's really, really sad.
Yeah, it's terrible, the beating the church has taken lately.
Yeah.
You know, we talked about this the last time I was here, was that all the good it's done for people.
Absolutely.
Know, especially in this country.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. It's really, really horrible. And but part of that is their fault. Because if you don't stand for something, no one's going to stand with you.
Yeah.
When stuff comes up and these heathens that are running for office and stuff, they should... Someone, you know, you should step up in a pulpit. No, but they don't want to offend anybody. Guess what? They're going to offend you if you don't. You don't have to offend them. You just have to tell the truth.
What's a typical meeting like? You know, I mean,
well,
you got to be recommended to get in, or you know, what's
you need a sponsor,
right?
Yes, and there's an application. The dues are very reasonable.
It was pretty easy for me to get in, and for me to get in any organization is unbelievable. So.
You'll get no argument out of me or Billy.
Yeah.
The background check is pretty easy.
Yeah. So Division 32 welcomed me with open arms. It was terrific. Yeah. I've been to a couple. Yeah, I get beer and pizza and you know what's going on. And they go and help Misericordia and stuff like that. They get involved in the parade, obviously. You know.
We haven't done it lately, but we've had the council, you know.
Consul General?
Yes.
Brian Byrne? O'Brien?
Brian O'Brien, that's his name. And in past years, sometimes it's the vice consul. But, you know, come out and talk about different issues that are...
There's a dog fight breaking out over here. What the heck is that?
So it's two older people there.
But the meetings, you know, they're you know, we try to
get
some content.
How many guys show up?
Oh, half of our membership usually.
Oh, that's not bad. Yeah. Yeah.
We interrupt this program to point out a gentleman with a scarf on a gorgeous night here. He's definitely an outsider.
Oh, man. It's crazy out here, folks. You got to come down here on a Thursday or Wednesday night. Now there's a dog fight. Everybody's going on. So, Joe, any final push for the AOH?
Get the website again.
Yeah.
I've been a member for almost 30 years.
No kidding. Good for you.
And
so you started when you were a young guy.
Yes. And who I've got enjoyed you involved? It. It is a great organization. The people you meet are, they're
salt
great.
Of the
and,
earth.
And it's,
sure.
You'll enjoy it. So come on out and join the AOH.
Was
again.
Your dad a member?
No, he was not.
Okay.
He was.
Who brought you in?
I found there was one of our old timers was a fellow from Ireland named Martin McDonnell.
Okay.
And, Martin, I called him up and I said, Martin, I hear you're involved in the AOH. He says, yes. And he told me when the meeting was and where to go. And that's how I got involved with it.
Cool.
So, again, www.aoh, no, I'm sorry, three W's, .aohchicago59.com or on Facebook, AOH Chicago 59. Thanks very much, fellas.
We're not done yet. Are there outlets in Ireland? Is there an AOH in Ireland?
Actually, yes.
Ah.
And at one time, they were in Canada.
Oh, no kidding.
And according to actually, it's not popular legend. It was a fact. There was a division in Mexico at one time.
Yeah.
San Patricia.
The St. Patrick's Battalion, sure.
I was talking to a fellow the other day from Monaghan.
County Monaghan.
Yeah, and he told me that he lived right on the Monaghan-Cavan border, that the AOH was very strong in that town. And they had a hall, and I think they sponsored the local football team and things like that. So, yeah, they still exist in Northern Ireland.
It's a great organization.
It's great.
Everybody should get involved. Let's make it stronger and fight back, right? Yes. Creeping communism and goo-gooism and all that other crapola. All right, so
Joe, you're
to be commended.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
I'm so glad you
gentlemen,
I'm so glad you came back
Joe,
on.
Yeah, thanks so much. It was really good.
All right, so we're going to take a little break here on the Skinny and Hooley Show. Go and sign up for the Ancient Order of Hibernians. You'll be glad you did. I'll be right back after these messages from our friends.
Putting your future in the hands of a lawyer can get personal, particularly in personal injury cases. You've got one shot at justice. So you're going to want a guy who thinks like you. Tom Gorman is Southside Irish all the way. He grew up in Holy Redeemer Parish, went to Brother Rice, and yeah, he got a ride to play ball at Notre Dame, played on the undefeated 1988 National Championship football team. After a shoulder injury ended his career, Tom stayed on with the Fighting Irish for his master's in law degree. Tom won the American Jurisprudence Award for trial advocacy at Notre Dame Law School, and he's been a trial lawyer ever since. Tom's practice is devoted exclusively to personal injury and wrongful death. Sure, he's won $1 million verdicts for his clients, but his focus remains on those families and their futures. Tom and his wife, Christine, have lived in Beverly for almost 20 years. And they're raising their 5 kids in Christ the King Parish, Brother Rice, Mother McCauley, and their oldest son is now at ND as well. Lots of folks have to deal with tragedy. It's good to know there's a guy out there you can count on who'll be in your corner to protect your family. You can call Tom Gorman directly at 312-345-7210 and tell him about your situation. Or go to the website, www.gormantriallaw.com. He's a good guy. There's no charge for the consultation, and you'll meet a new friend that's ready to fight for you and your family. Call Tom Gorman today at 312-345-7210 and tell him your story.
I'm Brendan O'Brien. Back in June of 1976, a guy opened a saloon on the south side called Riley's Daughter. That guy is my dad, Boz O'Brien. Millions of pints have been poured since then. Our family has quenched the thirst of the south side for over 41 years. The storied history of Riley's Daughter is familiar to generations of friends who've told me their tales of nights they'll never forget at Riley's. Maybe they met their future wife or hubby at Riley's, or maybe they were there for many of our White Sox, Bears, or Notre Dame trips. Or maybe their grandmother once bribed the judges in our Irish soda bread contest. We'll never tell. My family has been proud to be part of that over the years. One thing my dad has taught me is that you can't have too many friends. The legacy of Riley's Daughter has been the people we've been lucky enough to meet who stop by and share their good times with us. Today we're back in the South Side, right where we started, at 4010 West 111th Street in Oak Lawn. As Yogi Berra said, it's deja vu all over again. We actually closed the deal on our return the day Yogi died. God rest his soul. 2 years later, we haven't missed a step. If Yogi were alive, we'd tell him. Pull up a stool at Riley's Daughter and make yourself at home. If it's good booze and a friendly chat you're looking for, please stop by and say hello to my dad, Boz, my brother, Danny, or me, Brendan O'Brien. If you don't bring a story, we'll make sure you leave here with one. And if you mention the Skinny and Hooley Show, we'll make sure to put an extra ice cube in that drink of yours. Hope to see you back at Riley's Daughter in Oak Lawn on 111th Street.
Yeah, my old pal Brendan O'Brien over at Riley's Daughter. Say hello. Hey, you know what, Skinny?
Yeah,
I guess you're
thank
over.
Them.
They did a
Riley's
great thing for Jim McKeever, right?
Yeah, Jim McKeever, the guy from the Southside Irish Parade, a great guy who's been very sick. And Brendan and Boz had a real nice party for
me. Thousands of people there.
You couldn't get in. It was just unbelievable. But
that's great.
We want to ask everybody to say a prayer for Jim McKeever.
God bless him.
He's a great, great guy. He's a real solid family guy. Good Catholic guy, too.
I'm sure he'd be a member of the Ancient Order of Hibernians. He's a Southsider. We'll send him your way. Hey, you know what, Skinny? Celtic Woman is coming to Rosemont on Friday. Is it Friday? No, it's Sunday. It's Father's Day, June 17th.
They're always on Channel 11. They're tremendous.
But this is live from Ireland at the Rosemont Theater. And next week we're going to talk with one of the gals from the show, Susan McFadden. And she's going to tell us all about it, but it's just a terrific show. And you got one shot to see it in Chicago over at the Rosemont Horizon. And I think they're doing another one in Champaign. It's like the end of their tour. Look at these girls. They're gorgeous. Celtic Woman coming to the Rosemont Theater live from Ireland. We'll be talking next week, and then we'll get a pair. We're going to give a pair of tickets away on the crack. So listen to that show, too. All right, Skinny, you know, whenever I'm walking down Western Avenue and I look in the window, Ken's or Wrong's or Hart's, see the ghost of my old pal Jimmy Goff through the mist, and he says to me, hey, Hooley, who died?
Hooley, Bernie Carey, former state's attorney of Cook County, actually a really, really good guy, a Republican guy who's actually a really good man, too.
Died in Naples, Skin.
Former,
I mean, a neighbor of yours.
Did he really? Yeah. He had pancreatic cancer, I think it was. But anyways, he was a Republican and won this Cook County
State. In Cook County, believe it or not.
Yeah, but a nice guy. And Daley beat him in 1980. But Bernie Carey, Daley talked to Bernie Carey. They're buddies. They're, you know, after a while they were. But Bernie Carey is a good man, good family guy. He prosecuted John Wayne Gacy and a lot of other. Gray Lord was under him, you know. But anyways, he was an interesting guy. He was a guy that politics meant. One of the judges said politics meant nothing to him. He was also went to De La Salle High School here in Chicago. And he was the chair of the Young Democrats at St. Mary's University in Minnesota. And afterwards, he attended DePaul Law School. He met his wife, Rita, when he was 20 years old at a dance in Evergreen Park. They had five children together, celebrated their 60th anniversary. He was in the Naval Reserve, an FBI agent. When he was working in the FBI, he met Joe Woods, who was the Cook County Sheriff.
Yeah, Joe Woods, sure.
Brought him in with Ogilvy into the Republican Party. But just a really good man. And I would say that, you know, Bill Kunkel was a good friend of his.
Oh, yeah, Bill Kunkel. He was
and
a prosecutor.
Bill Kunkel, yeah, and he was the guy that prosecuted Gacy. But anyways, really good, solid people. And anyways,
God,
Bernie passed away. He was 83 years old. Good man. Yeah. So say a prayer for Bernie Carey.
Skinny brother Patrick Haggerty, 97 years old. He was a religious brother with the Society of Divine Word. And he helped make Ireland's The Word one of the most successful magazines in the world. He died on May 28th. He was born in County Galway in 1921. Pat Haggerty was the eldest of Michael and Margaret Haggerty's six boys. As a young boy, he completed his study and worked as an apprentice at Tommy Corey and Son in Galway. Just a long and fruitful life as a brother. But an interesting thing, for 40 years, he traveled the eastern United States to sell altar wine. So he had a little scam going, it sounds like, on the side. Brother Pat was selling altar wine. He went into business, went to the Divine Word Missionaries, and they desperately needed financial support, so he threw in with them. In 2006, at age 85, he moved to New Jersey to retire in fashion, that Divine Word Missionaries do, finding other ways to serve their fellow human beings.
He could speak German, Italian, Spanish. Just an amazing life. So say a prayer for brother Patrick Haggerty, 97 years old. Now, I was talking to PJ, and he had SVD after his name. And I said, no, that doesn't mean what you think it means.
Anyways,
he's with the Society of the Divine Worker.
Yeah, okay. Sister Ida Gannon passed away, Holy. She was...
her name?
Ida Gannon.
Ida.
She was a professor at Mundelein University, and she was the head of Mundelein University for many years.
Big deal.
Sister Ida Gannon was born in Chicago in 1915. She's 103 years old.
Wow.
A BVM nun. She taught
in
a number of high schools. Her parents were George and Hannah Murphy. She was became a nun in 1932. So you figure that out. That's a long, long time.
Calculators.
She taught at different schools in Illinois before she went to Mundelein. But a great lady. I know she doesn't need the prayers, but say a prayer for her. Memorial should be given to the Sisters of Charity, BVM, Support Fund, in Dubuque, Iowa. Sister Ida Gannon, she was a giant in
God
education.
Rest her soul.
Yeah, great lady.
Skinny, Thomas Vincent Nash, 71 only. He was survived by his beloved wife of 50 years. Well, that means he was married when he was 21. His wife, Barbara. And he was the father of John and Brian. Went to Our Lady Help of Christians, OLH. OLH, I guess. And he, grammar school in Fenwick, class of 1964. He played hockey on the Kennedy Cup, winning that in 1964.
Wow.
He proudly served in the U.S. Air Force Reserves. He was a longtime member of Chicago Journeyman Plumbers Local 130. And he worked for the Metropolitan Water Reclamation District, Greater Chicago. Just a terrific guy. God rest his soul, Tom Nash.
Hey, Mike Riley passed away, Holy, from Naperville. 86 years old, from County Cavan.
Ah.
He was surrounded by his loving family. He was the husband of Teresa Haugh, H-A-U-G-H. And they had their family. They raised their family in Chicago. He's the father of James, Mary, Michael, Teresa, and Eileen. Grandfather of many. He was a member of the local 399 operating engineers.
Yeah.
That's how I know his
Brian
name.
Brian Hickey, sure.
A really, really good guy. Veteran of the United States Army. And Mass was held at St. Elizabeth Seton School... church in Naperville, but say a prayer for him. So, actually, St. Michael's is in Norland Park, but he was from Naperville. 86 years old.
God rest his soul.
Michael Riley,
Cavan. Hey, also, Morris McAuliffe, also known as Unc, 75, a veteran of the U.S. Army Signal Corps, a native of Castle Island, County Kerry. Well, he was probably in 399, too. A longtime stationary engineer.
There you go.
There he is. Unc McAuliffe. Say a prayer for him. God rest his soul. And we have to take another break here on the Skinny and Hooley Show. Stick around, because we get a lot of more fun coming for you when you get back. We'll be right back after these messages from our friends.
Flood Brothers Disposal was started 80 years ago by their grandfather. Today, 15 members of the family still work together. And as in their grandfather's day, they are service-oriented and believe that the only way to do something is the right way. Flood Brothers are price competitive, so you can count on them to exceed your expectations. So contact Flood Brothers for a quote on your solid waste, recycling, and yard waste collection services. And remember their motto, your rubbish is our bread and butter. So call Bob Flood today at 630-261-0400 or at floodbrothersdisposal.com.
When your family has suffered a loss, there's one family I know who will be there for you. Robert J. Sheehy and Sons Funeral Home are third generation family owned and operated. The Sheehy family has dedicated their lives serving families throughout Chicago and the southwest suburbs. Robert J. Sheehy and Son Funeral Home was incorporated in 1913 as a storefront at 76th and Halsted in Chicago. At the time, this is one of the few standalone funeral homes of its kind, was to be the first of many to come bearing the Sheehy name. The founder, Roger Sheehy Sr., was soon joined in business by his three sons, Roger Jr., Jack, and Bob. This trademark of success is evident 98 years later as Bob and Jim Sheehy, third generation, own and operate two locations in Orland Park and Burbank. The name Sheehy on their sign outside the funeral home means something. For them, it's very important that everyone be treated as if they were family, friend, or neighbor, as they very well could be. When my brother Willie died a few years ago, the Sheehys took very good care of our family, and you know, you never forget something like that. Every detail is handled in a professional and personal manner. On a daily basis, the directors Bill Kiley, Mike Orico, and John Sullivan, and the rest of the staff, take great pride in their work, serving families as if they were their own. Bob Sheehy will tell you, we pride ourselves in offering the highest level of professionalism with every family we serve. Robert J. Sheehy & Sons Funeral Homes, here for you since 1913.
McCann's Irish Oatmeal. We've been warming the hearts, minds, and souls of the most discriminating oatmeal lovers for over 150 years. From the family farm to your table, enjoy the whole grain goodness of McCann's Irish Oatmeal today. Available at your local grocery store.
This is Mike Houlihan. I support Concern Worldwide. If you want to do something about global poverty, hunger, refugees, the unacceptable suffering of young children, if you want to reach people directly where the need is greatest, you should too. For 50 years, since its grassroots beginnings in Dublin, Concern has saved and changed millions of lives. It's been the proud, relentlessly compassionate face of Ireland to the world. Support Concern today at ConcernUSA.org. That's ConcernUSA.org. There is no more Irish thing you can do.
True, yeah, Concern true, Worldwide. Concern. That's a great organization.
Man on Albright. Hey, listen.
Yeah.
On July 12th, there's a golf outing in honor of Paul Bauer, the police commander that was killed in Chicago. Knights of Columbus are putting it on. It's at Glen Eagles Country Club in Lamont. Golf and dinner is only $130. Dinner is $50 if you just want to. You can visit www.knights12173.com.
When is it? July?
July 12th, which is a Thursday.
We'll be plugging it some more, too.
Yeah, so we'll plug it again a number of times between now and then. And Aaron, his wife worked for me.
Aaron Bauer, yeah.
Aaron
Malloy Bauer.
Aaron Malloy Bauer, yeah. And I talked to her recently, but she's doing real well. Her daughter just got an award in the city council.
Yeah,
it was real
terrific.
Nice. So
yeah.
Say a prayer for Commander Bauer and come out to the golf on July 12th.
Yeah. All right, Skin, you know what? I was out at Gaelic Park, 2 weeks ago.
There's one other thing. Oh, never mind. Go ahead.
Coming out of, I'm at Gaelic Park, and they got all the porta-potties lined up there, you know. And I'm coming out of the porta-potty just as I was getting ready to go home, and some guy comes out and says, anybody got a wire coat hanger? I said, what do you want a coat hanger for? And he said he dropped his jacket down the porta-potty. He needed a coat hanger to get his jacket out of the thing. I said, what? Why fish it out? You still don't want to wear a jacket that fell in a porta-potty, do you? And he goes, no. That'd be disgusting. I said, well, what do you want to get your jacket for? And he goes, I left a sandwich in the pocket.
I thought you were going to say I left a few beer tickets in the pocket.
Those I'd dive for.
Right.
That was a joke sent by Warner Todd Houston, a friend who writes for Breitbart, by the way. That was pretty funny.
But, Holy, we do want to thank all our sponsors and all our listeners.
We
couldn't do anything without our sponsors, especially Flood Brothers, who have been so good to us, and Bob Flood. So we wanted to
Flood Brothers are taking over the world.
I know. They're fine people. And,
yeah. Now, those are good guys. They're like AOH core type people.
They are, you know? Totally.
They really are. Yeah.
And, you know what, I do want to tell you, too, we got a lot of stuff coming up for the 50th anniversary in Special Olympics in July. The whole week of July 16th to the 21st. I'll give you some more information.
I forgot to plug July 3rd. We're doing all three shows at the Heritage Center.
Wait a second. Tuesday, you forgot.
Tuesday, July 3rd. Well, that's before July 17th. Tuesday, July 3rd at the Heritage Center, we're doing the Skinny and Hooli show. We're doing the Hooli's Hooli, and we're doing the Crack. All right. Three shows in 1 hour. It's going to be an extravaganza. Please come down and join us.
And don't forget about the trip to Ireland in October.
Oh, October 11th to the 18th. Well, that night we're also having a little meet and greet with Emer Arkins that night. If you're interested in the trip, come on by.
I just remembered that. All right. Yeah. Thanks, everybody, for listening.
Yeah, we will see you later. Bye.
Next time for the Skinny and Hooli Show. The Skinny and Hooley Show is recorded in front of a live audience.